Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining us for this service. And we're having a time. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Tinu, for that awesome time in the Lord's presence, in worship, in praise, in psalms, in singing, and glory to God. Thank you, Pastor Muyiwa, for leading us, ushering us in there by prayer. And thank you to all of you that are connected with us in the spirit this morning. We're really excited. I don't think we see a whole lot of bad weather out there yet, but we know it's frigid, it's cold, and we know the snow is coming. So, you know, you enjoy your space out there, wherever you are, in your home, your living room, your bedroom, wherever you are, and be safe. Your safety is priority to us. Amen. And we're very excited. We have a lot of time this morning. This is really a blessing. So since you are not going anywhere, we are not going anywhere, we can just have a word feast right here. Doesn't that sound like a good plan? Doesn't that sound like a very good plan? I think that's a very good plan. Amen. Now, what you are going to do for us is, you know, we don't have scriptures projected. We don't have all of that. So I'm going to need you to engage with us. You are going to have to get your Bibles out. You are going to have to get your devices, whatever it is you use to access the Word of God. We have some ways to go. All right. So we're going to start out with our 2025 confession. And then we're going to dive into the Word of God. All right. So let's do it. Just look on your screen. Let's do it together. 2, 3, go. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruit will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by His grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is He who began this work in me, and He will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by His mantle, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet with long life. He satisfies me and is showing me His salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. That word is taking hold in all of our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. You can go ahead and be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're going to cut out the music, and we're going to dive right into the Word of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want us to go first. Let's start out from our New Testament promises. Amen and amen. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, let's go to verse 27, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version of the Bible. The letters are in red. Jesus speaking, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Look at that. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. My brothers and sisters, the peace of God is an inheritance of the covenant children. The peace peace of God that he gives to us is a covenant inheritance of God's children. This is why every one of his promises is connected to our relationship with him. This peace is given only to those that are connected with him by covenant. Actually, if you back up in John chapter 14 and you go all the way to the very first verse of John chapter 14, you see that Jesus began this scripture exactly by declaring the same thing. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, he said, I'm reading from the Amplified, "Do not let your heart be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in God, believe also in me." Notice that. You believe in God, believe also in me. That is the origin of our peace, is our divine covenant connection, our rightful place in this relationship with our Heavenly Father through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so possible that we can be around the Lord for so long. We can go to church all of our lives. We can read the Bible for many years. We can hang around other believers. We can be around believers in our families, in our circles of relationships and everything. And yet, we may not know him. We may be around the people who know him. We may be around him, but we may not know him. Notice the origin of our peace. Every promise that the Lord is making to us in this season is deeply rooted in our knowledge of him, our personal knowledge of him. In this same John 14, if you just go down a few verses after verse 1, you notice Peter, it was Philip actually. Philip said in verse 8, Philip said unto the Lord, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." And look at how Jesus responded to him. Jesus said, "Philip, have I been so long with you and yet you don't know me?" I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. He says, "Have I been with all of you for so long a time and yet you do not recognize and know me yet, Philip?" You've been around my word. You've been around my people. You've been around my church for so long, and yet you do not know me. That means it is possible that we can be around the things of God for a long time and yet not know him. It is possible we can serve him. We can serve in the house of God. It is possible we can identify with the church. It is possible we might even have a title behind our names. Pastor or bishop or apostle or prophet, and yet not know him. Like Philip. Everything begins with knowing him. "My peace I bequeath to you." That is his will. That is his covenant heritage that he has disbursed to us as his children. You know, If a wealthy person passes on, they usually pass their wealth to other people. And the way they do that, they have to document it in a will. That will is called testament. And after they are gone, they're going to open that will through a legal system, and they're going to find out who gets the rich person's wealth. Some people may have known that rich person. Some people have been very close to, they may have thought they were very close to that rich person or whatever. But if their name is not in that will, they don't get anything. Now, everybody can read these confessions with us. You can say, when I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, anybody can say that. But if your name is not in the will, You don't get any of these promises. Amen. And so these promises that the Lord has made to us, they are all incumbent on our relationship with him. Let's go to Hebrews. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 and 21. I'm going to read both of those from the Amplified version of the Bible as well. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who is the author and giver of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that was sealed and ratified, the everlasting agreement, the covenant, the testament." Notice, God is the author and he is the giver of peace. But he disburses his peace to his people through the covenant that was sealed and ratified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every promise is available to us by covenant relationship with our Heavenly Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But notice also, everything is incumbent on our intimate relationship with him. In verse 21, he says, "May that God of peace, the giver and the author of peace, may he strengthen you. May he complete you. May he perfect you and make you what you ought to be and equip you with everything good so that you may carry out his will while he himself walks in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom be glory forever and ever to the ages of the ages. Amen. So be it." I love this. He says, may that God of peace, may he strengthen, may he complete, may he perfect everything that concerns you. May he give you and equip you with everything good so that you may carry out his will. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. May God complete you. I pray that same prayer for you this morning. May God complete you. May God perfect everything that concerns you and your family. May this be the year when anything that has been missing and anything that has been broken be restored back unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus. May this be the year when there is a full supply of anything that is currently missing in your story. May this be the year when God finally brings the missing ingredients that will complete your destiny. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice, everything begins with our intimate relationship with him. That's why I love the two books, our two publications. And you are going to see me read a little bit from each of them, a little bit in this service, in this message, this morning. I want you to go with me to the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 6. Everything begins with knowing God. Everything. This is morning hours of 2025. The greatest thing we can do, the best thing we can do in these morning hours of 2025 and in the morning hours of any season is to draw close to the God of heaven. This is the morning hours of 2025. This is when the dew of heaven is prepared. Hallelujah. This is when the dew of heaven is prepared and is being readied to be released upon God's people. All the promises that have been made, every aspect of this covenant package that God has prepared for us in 2025, this is the morning hours when God has ordained for those things to begin to be released upon us. And how do we unlock those doors? It's by knowing him. is by developing a more intimate relationship with him. You see, that book doesn't say knowing God intimately. Because some people will say, I already know him. And some people will say, I know him a lot. But actually, you find that, like the late Kenneth E. Hagin used to say, the more you know, the less you find out you actually know. Because the closer you draw to God, his wisdom is so vast. The riches, the wealth of who he is El Shaddai, the multi-breasted God. The closer you get to him, the more you find out, oh my goodness, how deficient you are. How inadequate you are. Hallelujah. But notice, the book says knowing God more intimately. Knowing God more. So no matter where you are, no matter where all of us are, we can know him more intimately. You can know, somebody may say, well, I don't know him at all. Well, you can know him. You can begin knowing him in this season. You may be like Philip, who has been around him for so many years and yet didn't know him, didn't recognize him. That process can begin for you this year in the name of Jesus. Look at Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Let's read this first from the King James, and then I'm going to go and read it from the Amplified as well. Look at what it says. It says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Watch this. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Look at that. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Notice the process of knowing the Lord is not a process that God initiates. Every human being that will walk closely with God, everyone that will get more intimate with God, that will become more acquainted with God, must take a step first. The step, the process of knowing God more. You know, sometimes people say, oh, Pastor, you know, if you would just draw me closer. Yes, that's a good prayer. But my friends, God will draw you closer when you draw yourself closer to him first. The first step that must be taken in the process of walking closely with God, in the process of going from wherever you are right now to the next level of your relationship and your covenant relationship and partnership with God, the very first step that must be taken must be by you, by me. God isn't going to take that first. Look at it. He says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. So when we fulfill and when we satisfy that condition, when we follow on to know the Lord, then the Lord will come to us. Notice the rest of this scripture. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, he is going forth, is prepared as the morning. He is going forth, is prepared as the morning, and he shall come to us like the dew of the morning. Hallelujah. He shall come to us like the rain, like the latter rain and the former rain unto the earth. I want you to see the progression. I want you to see how it works. If we take the first step, God will come to us. His going forth is already prepared. The package is already prepared. The dew of the morning is already prepared. But if we take the first step, then he will come to us. This is so crucial. This is so important. Some of the people that the Lord made this promise to at the beginning are actually named there. If you look in that verse 4, he says, oh, Ephraim, what shall I do with you? O Judah, what will I do unto you? Because your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goes away. That is, you don't follow through. Notice Ephraim was one of the ones who inherited the dew of heaven. Ephraim was a direct descendant of Jacob through Joseph, who received the bulk and the best of the promises that God actually conferred upon Jacob, right? Ephraim was one of the two sons of Joseph. But God says, look, even when you say you take a step, it never lasts. I see you taking steps every January. Right? You get in the Daniel fast. You do what everybody does. Glory to God. Everybody's excited. You are excited. Ooh, ooh, hallelujah. You join the morning prayers, the morning devotions. Ooh, glory to God. You read the devotions. You read the books, recommended reading. Hallelujah. You join Bible studies on Wednesdays. Oh, you go to church. Glory to God. You are excited. And that lasts sometimes till maybe the middle of February, sometimes at best, maybe March, and then you are right back to where you used to be. Because that won't work. That won't work. I need you and I, as God is saying, I need you and me to get in this partnership on this journey of intimacy. And I want us to run it for a while. I don't want us to run for a while and stop. I don't want us to run for a few months and stop. I want us to keep going. Let's keep going higher. Let's keep going deeper. Glory to God. Somebody say with me wherever you are. Say, I'm going higher with God. Say, I'm going deeper with God in the name of Jesus. If you look at that verse, I think it's verse 6. Look at what verse 6 says. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice. What I'm looking for is not just that you go through the motions and fulfill certain things at the beginning of the year like that. No. I desired mercy and not sacrifice. Watch this. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. I desire. God's greatest desire for you and for me, child of God, is that we will know him more. Is that we will know him more. Know him more. God is not pleased with us marking time spiritually. He's not satisfied with us being in the same spot year after year. He's not satisfied with us going around the same mountain year after year. God's greatest desire for you and for me is that we will know him more and more and more and more with every new day, with every new morning, with every new season, that we will know him more and more and more. Look at what it says. I don't desire sacrifice. I'm not looking for burnt offerings. What I'm looking for is that you will know me more. Is that you will know me more. Beloved, I want you to make a quality decision in this season of 2025, in these morning hours of 2025, that whatsoever you begin, whatsoever God begins with you in these morning hours, will not stop after 1 month, will not stop after 2 months, but that you will continue on. Yes, the fast will end, but your journey of knowing God, your journey of drawing closer to God, your journey of intimacy with the Holy Spirit will not stop when the fast end, but you will continue on through January, through February, through March, all the way to December. And then when another January rolls around, we'll mount up again with eagles and start again from another level. Hallelujah. Amen. That you know me more. He said, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. Glory to God. Somebody say, I'm going to know him more this year. So I'm going to draw closer to him this year in the name of Jesus. Let's read these two verses of scripture from the Amplified Version of the Bible. Hosea 6 verse 3. It says, yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord. My friends, everything begins with zeal. Some of you are married today. You could never be married without zeal. Many of you have careers. You could never have a career without zeal. Some of you have families. You could never have those families without zeal. Many of you are running businesses. You could not run business successfully without. Everything begins with zeal. What is zeal? Zeal is a burning passion that pushes you to do something for someone or to do something about something. Zeal is a burning passion in a heart, in a human heart, to do something for someone or to do something about something. It's a burning passion. Everything begins with zeal. Your knowledge of God, your growing intimacy with Christ and the Holy Spirit will begin with zeal. If you don't have zeal, you won't know him more. If it's just one of the many things that are struggling to get your attention in 2025, you will not know him more. If it's like the same old, we just keep doing the same old things we've always done, you will not know him more this year. But my friends, I can testify to you, it is possible to know God more. It is possible to develop a greater and a deeper intimacy with God. It is possible to walk with God like you have never walked with him before. It is possible to be closer to the heart of God. It all begins with zeal. Put your hands on your head wherever you are. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I receive fresh zeal from heaven to draw closer to the God of the universe. In the name of Jesus, amen. Make it a prayer every day. Pray for yourself. Lord, I receive fresh zeal. You know, sometimes that zeal wanes. Sometimes that passion can wane. Like life happens and all sorts of things begin to call for your attention. Distractions and cares of the world and this and that and this and that. But we've got to stay committed to zeal for God. We've got to stay committed. We must remain zealous to know him. We must remain zealous to be closer to him. Somebody say, that will be me in the name of Jesus. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, to give heed to him, to cherish him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn. And he will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. When we have zeal and when we go after God, when we pursue him, with everything that we have. My friend, there are depths to God that none of us has ever scratched yet. Oh my goodness. There are depths to God. We have not even experienced them yet. There are depths to God. They have not even crossed our minds yet. There are depths to God. There are depths to God, my friend. This is an invitation. Consider this your special invitation. God is calling you today. Come. My son, come, my daughter. Let's go further. Let's go higher. There are more places we can go. There are greater things we can accomplish. Somebody say with me, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going. I'm going, I'm going, I'm going. Hallelujah. I'm going, I'm going. Woo. Verse 6, Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, in the Amplified. He said, for I desire and I delight in dutiful, steadfast love and goodness, not sacrifice. And I desire and I delight in the knowledge of an acquaintance with God more than burnt offerings. To seek to know him, to seek to walk with him, unleashes the blessings of heaven upon our lives. When we draw close to him, like Isaac, remember, if you were with us on Wednesday, we read the blessing that Isaac put upon his son, Jacob. Like Isaac, when Isaac stretches out his hands and he feels the hair on the body of his beloved son, when he pulls him closer, and he feels the air on the body of his beloved son, my friend, oh, blessings will begin to be unleashed that man has not even imagined. When we draw closer to God, when we become more intimate with him, and he said, come closer, my son, come closer, my daughter, and we get closer, and he feels us close, and he touches us, and we are there in his bosom, dwelling in the secret place. Oh, the dew of heaven. The dew of heaven. You remember if you were with us on Wednesday in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 28, I think I should read this from the New King James Version. They sound very similar, but I like a couple of words that the New King James Version uses. The Amplified, the King James doesn't necessarily use those words. If you look right there in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 28, look at it. This is Isaac. In fact, if you look at the couple of verses right before that, let's read from verse 23. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hand. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son, Esau?" He said, "Jacob said I am." This is Jacob, but he's acting like he's Esau. He knows what his father is looking for. He knows his father knows some peculiar characteristics about Esau. So Jacob went and put on those things with the help of his mother, Rebecca. And in verse 25, he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's games, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Verse 26, "Then his father Isaac said to me, 'Come near now and kiss me, my son.'" Oh, I love it. "Come near now. Come near now and kiss me, my son." See, intimacy with God, when we pull in to God, my friends, it gives us access to the greatest blessings that heaven has. Some people say, "Oh, God, just bless me." They stay at a distance. "God, bless me." They stay at the door. "Lord, bless me." They stay around God's people. "God, bless me. As you bless them, bless me." But it doesn't work like that. The blessings flow when we come near. The blessings flow when we come near. Peace will flow when you come near. Peace will flow. He is the giver and he is the author of peace. And the only way we will experience the full dimension of peace that God has for us is that we come nearer to him. We get closer to him. We get closer. We walk more intimately with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at what he said. "Come near, my son." Genesis 27, 26. His father said, "Come near now. Kiss me, my son." Verse 27, "And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, 'Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord had blessed.'" See, when he came close, he unleashed, he opened up the gates of the blessings. And in verse 28, he began to prophesy. He said, "Therefore, may God give unto you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Hey, let people serve you. Let nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Curse be everyone who curses you, and bless be everyone who blesses you." What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. May God give you of the dew of heaven. I pray the same prayer for you today. May God give you of the dew of heaven. May he complete you with the dew of heaven. May he perfect you with the dew of heaven. May he replenish you with the dew of heaven. My friend, you know, the dew of heaven, when the dew of heaven comes upon your life, when the volume of the dew of heaven, when it overtakes your life and it comes in that repeated cycle that God ordains, it brings such a wetness that completely and radically eradicates dryness from your life. People talk about how life can sometimes be dry, how there's burnout, how there's stress. No, when the dew of heaven comes upon you, it totally and radically eradicates dryness out of your life. If you added, I'm just going to allude to this, I can't go into it. Because of time, I'm watching my time now. See, remember when Gideon set out that thing before the Lord and was testing, he was saying, "Want to put this fleece," and told God, notice it was with the dew of heaven. And the first time he did, he said, "Lord, if this is you, let the dew come on this fleece and let the rest of the ground be dry." And when he woke up in the morning, the Bible says he went and picked up the fleece And the fleece was heavy with dew, with water. And then he got a bucket and he started squeezing the water in the fleece into a bucket. And he got a bucket full. He got a bucket full. When the dew of heaven comes upon your life, dryness will be completely eradicated. Dryness, you will never know dryness again forever. Lift up your hand to heaven. Prophesy over yourself with me. I will never know dryness again forever in the name of Jesus. I lay hold on the dew of heaven. I receive the blessing of the dew of heaven. I will never again know dryness forever in Jesus' mighty name. Dryness is over for you. I said dryness is over for you. Notice it all began with being close. The dew of heaven. With the dew of heaven comes favor. With the dew of heaven comes wisdom. With the dew of heaven comes grace. With the dew of heaven comes enablement, empowerment. With the dew of heaven comes riches and prosperity. With the dew of heaven comes security and peace. With the dew of heaven comes joy, joy like a river. Hallelujah. With the dew of heaven. That's why I like it. If you are, I hope you did. If you didn't do yet, well, you can still do that later today. Day 7 of our uncommon wisdom devotional. And by the way, we have this beautiful bookmarks. So if you, I don't know if you guys have them, you can get this for free next time you're back in church. And these are, you can get two because you have two books. Oh, glory to God. We thank God for Pastor Emmanuel who designed all those beautiful things. Hallelujah. Ooh, God bless him wherever he is. Amen. All right, look at this. Day 7, wisdom for accelerated progress. I love it. Yes. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I just got to allude to some of this because I'm talking about this. Remember, we're talking about the blessings that come from drawing close to the Lord. The nearer we get to God, the more our lives are opened up. It's no mystery. When Moses said to God, God was about to send them out. And Moses said to God, God, don't send us out without your presence. Without your presence, we are not going. Without your presence, we are not going. Because all the grace of life that we need comes from his presence. Everything we need to prosper, to succeed on our journey, comes from his presence. Hallelujah. The more, the closer we get to him, the more intimate we become with him, the more we gain access to the blessings of his presence. You remember that story we just read? Isaac said unto Jacob, come near to me. It's a figure. It's almost like an analogy of how God blesses and pours out his blessings upon his people, upon his children. Isaac said unto his son Jacob, come near to me. Come near to me and kiss me. And when he came close, and he held him close, and he was in his bosom in the secret place, Isaac opened his mouth, and he began to unleash blessings upon his son. Now, remember, Jacob received the blessing of the dew of heaven. I'm not going to go there today, but the one of Joseph, of Jacob's children that actually got the full, and on Wednesday we talked about the fact that there are dimensions to these blessings, right? You study the word. This is not like a new doctrine or something I'm trying to create. It is true, actually. The blessings of God are in dimensions. They're in measures, yeah. Right? And I think on Wednesday I was talking about, Jesus said bread is for the children, right? The woman who wanted healing for her daughter said, Lord, but there are, dogs can eat of the crumbs that fall. Crumbs are different from the main portion of the bread. Crumbs are like a part. So it is possible for people around us to enjoy some of the benefits of God's blessings around our lives. I can't get into it today, but you look at the story of Abraham and Lot. Is the perfect analogy, is the perfect example of this principle that I'm sharing with you. When both of them in Genesis 13 came out of Egypt, the Bible says Abraham was so wealthy. He was so rich in cattle. He was this, they had this and that. But Lot also had wealth. In fact, both of them had so much wealth that, you know, the land, the Bible says the land was not enough for them. They had to separate. But Lot was receiving a portion of the blessing of Abraham's covenant with God. There's nowhere in the Bible where you find before this point that God ever made a covenant with Lot. Never. Every good thing, that's why after Lot separated, he still had wealth, but he started to lose that wealth. He had peace, but he started to lose that peace. He started making a lot of stupid decisions that sapped the wisdom of God out of his life, where eventually when Lot came out of Sodom, he came out with nothing. He went into Sodom a wealthy man, but when he came out of Sodom, he came out with nothing. Just even his wife, he lost his wife. His wife became a pillar of salt. The blessings of God are in measures, my friend. Don't be satisfied. There's more. There's more in God. There's more in God. My friend, whatever we have experienced, there's more. There's more. There's more. Isn't that scripture I think Pastor Tinu read earlier telling us, that's I think that's one of the key scriptures leading us into this next week, right? Eyes have not seen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It has not yet entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared. There is more in God that we have not yet seen. There is more in God that we have not yet received. Wherever you are, I know for many of us, you know, you can perceive. This has happened to me a lot of times. Let me be very naked and very transparent with you. So sometimes, you know, you pursue a dream like this was a dream 15 years ago. You pursued it, you gave it everything, every morning, every night, every week, every month. You just kept going after you. That was such a dream 15 years ago. But finally, the dream got fulfilled. And just like you, I can look back on my journey, on our journey, and look at so many things that a few years ago used to be like aspirations. We didn't know this would happen. But we look back now, it's all happening. Way back then, we just used to write about them. Sometimes I go back and pick some of our old devotionals from 20 years ago. We had this big mountain of devotional that we wrote. Some of you probably know that big devotional. I go and read some of the things in there. Way back then, I think it was 2006, 2007. A lot of those things that were being written were really aspirational. Just about all those things are happening right now. In 2024, 2025. All of those things are happening right now. But you know, you can get to that point where dreams that you carried for 15, 20, 30 years are fulfilled. And then you can begin to coast. You can stagnate. But this, my friend, there's more. There's so much more. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Neither has entered yet into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But these things are revealed to us the more we walk with him, the closer we get to him, the more these things become a realization, they become a manifestation. There's so much more. Right. From where I'm standing right now, I'm seeing way beyond what I saw in 2006, 2007. I'm seeing so much more out there, so much more. And now my focus is on the next horizon. Hallelujah. And with everything, just like way back then, 20 years ago, I was pursuing. Now I'm beginning to pursue that next horizon. And I'm giving it everything. I'm giving it everything. And when you have that, my friends, you just keep going from glory to glory to glory. And the Bible says the glory of the latter house will always surpass the former. There's so much more. That's all I'm trying to say to you. There's so much more in God. Don't get satisfied. Don't begin to coast. Don't get fooled. Stay hungry. Stay hungry for more of God. Stay hungry for more dimensions of His glory. Stay hungry. Stay thirsty for more of His presence. That's all I'm trying to say to you. Wherever you are today, there's still so much more, my friends. There's so much more. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It's not yet entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared. Stay hungry. Well, Jacob received the full blessing of that dew of heaven. Joseph received the full blessing of that dew of heaven that he received from his father Isaac. Joseph was one of the ones, you know, when Jacob was prophesying later on over his 12 children, Jacob was the one who got that full portion. Joseph was the one who got that full portion. Right here in this devotion, I loved it today. And this is, you know, yeah, hopefully you read it. Hopefully you saw this. But, you know, the theme, the highlighted scripture is Genesis 41, 38 to 40. Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. You'll be over my house." This particular story, this particular segment of the story of Joseph began in chapter 40. He was in prison. And while he was in prison, he saw the baker and the butler. In Genesis chapter 40 and verse 6, the Bible says, Joseph came unto them and he saw them, he came unto them in the morning and he saw them, he looked upon them and behold, they were sad. That's the baker and the butler were both sad. They were both officers of the Pharaoh. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the word of the Lord, saying, why do you look so sad today? My friends, even that was wisdom. Wisdom can open up the next dimension of your life. Even that was wisdom. To go and ask them. Do you know how many people saw them looking sad and didn't ask them a thing? Just God knows what's wrong with them today. And just go about their business. But Joseph took it upon himself to ask them, "Why are you guys looking so sad today?" Even that was wisdom. That man, Joseph, was immersed in the spirit of wisdom. If you follow that devotion from yesterday, everyday wisdom, you don't wait until you are deficient. Yeah. You don't wait until you lack it. Right? Yes, there is a provision. The Bible does say in James chapter 1 verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But notice, he didn't say when all of you lack wisdom. He didn't say that. But he said, if any man lack, that is sometimes some of you may lack wisdom. But it is not God's best for you to lack wisdom. It is God's best for us to keep topping that wisdom. To stay in a place where every day we are topping the cup of God's wisdom in our lives. Because situations come every day. And sometimes you don't have so much time to now go say, I need to go and pray. I need 2 days, 3 days to fast and pray to get wisdom. And sometimes the problem requires a 10-minute, 15-minute response. You don't have 3 days. A right now, in the moment response. So if you are deficient, when that need is right there, you are in trouble. Joseph was always full of that wisdom. He looked at these two people, the baker and the butler, and said, "Why are you guys so sad today?" It was wisdom. Wisdom pushed him. Wisdom nudged him. You know, with wisdom comes understanding. Yeah. Right? With wisdom comes discretion. With wisdom comes discernment. Right? When you have wisdom, there are so many things that come along with that wisdom. Yeah. With wisdom comes knowledge. Hallelujah. With wisdom comes the ability to see things that most people don't see. Insight, yes. With wisdom comes all of that. He saw them, said, "Why are you guys looking so sad today?" And they told him, you know the story, I got to move on here because my time is running. You know the story. He interpreted, they had dreams. He interpreted their dreams by the wisdom of God. After he interpreted their dreams, he made it clear the baker will be killed, but the butler will be spared. And he said unto the butler, "Hey, butler, remember me when you get restored, when you get back to the king's palace." My friends, Genesis chapter 40 ended with Joseph still in prison. The Bible says the chief butler in verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot him. People can forget you, but wisdom will remember you. Situations can forget you, but wisdom will dig you out. This chapter ended with Joseph still in prison. The chapter began with Joseph in prison and it ended with Joseph in prison. Chapter 41 began with Joseph in prison, but it changed somewhere. Supernaturally, something happened. In the middle of the night, God came and gave Pharaoh a dream. And Pharaoh became so restless. You know this story. I can't read it. But you know this. Like somewhere supernaturally, overnight, Joseph went from the basement to the attic. Joseph went from the basement to the palace. Joseph went from Lodibar to land of glory overnight. Wisdom can bring you accelerated progress. That's the dew of heaven, my friends. I love it. I love the writing right here. God can take you from the basement to the top of your earthly endeavor in record time. People in the world usually say, "Wait your turn." And sometimes that is necessary to make room for growth and maturity so that we receive proper preparation for the next level that has been prepared for us. Yes, sometimes, yes, it's important to get preparation. But after, what about after getting that preparation? Eh? Do you know how many, I got to say a word to somebody here. Somebody's listening to me. God, the Holy Spirit gave me a word for you. What about, how about after receiving the preparation and then still stuck in Lodibar for several years, stranded in the traffic of destiny? Now you fulfilled all the requirements. They say, get preparation, you get preparation. Do this degree, you do this degree. Do that diploma, you do that diploma. Connect with that person, go and serve them for 10 years. You know that happened to Jacob? Yeah. Then what happens after you fulfill all those requirements? Then still sit there, stuck. And people still going round and round the same old mountain. I can't tell you over the years how many people say to me in January, "Pastor, you know this dream that I told you about several years ago? This is the year I'm going to do something about it." I say, "Amen. I'm with you, brother." Hallelujah. I'm with you. I connect with you. Amen. And I speak a word of blessing over you in the name of Jesus. God bless you. God favor you. Every door you need to be open, blah, blah, blah. There's sometimes I'm waiting around March, April, June, July. Like, I'm waiting for some update. But everything just goes radio silence. Until another year. At the beginning of the next year, then here they come again. Pastor, you remember that thing we talked about? This is the year. This is the year. It's you we're talking about here. There's something called due season. There's something called due season. Every farmer knows. You pay the price. You sow your seed. You water the seed. You take the time. You weed out unwanted weeds. You take the time. You go through the different aspects of preparation for the emergence of the fruit. When the time comes and the blade begins to show, you notice the blade is showing. You begin to get ready for the next dimensions and the next level. My problem, my challenge with a lot of believers is they never ever recognize when due season comes. They never find their way to take advantage of the benefits and the blessings of due season. My friend, when due season comes, it's time to harvest. When due season, every farmer knows you've taken the time, you've sown your seed, you've watered the seed in the ground, you've done everything you were supposed to do. Then here comes due season. My friend, you get your sickle out and you go out to the field and you say, it's my time to be blessed. It's my time to reap a harvest. It's my time to take the blessing. And you begin to take the harvest. And you begin to take the harvest. And you begin to take the harvest. Your due season is here. Your due season is here. Your due season is here. It's time to get your sickle out. The Lord showed me this in the spirit. For a number of people that are going to be hearing this message today, due season is now. Due season is not next month. Due season is not next year. Due season is not next decade. Due season is now. Due season is now. You already got your preparation. You already sowed your seed. You already watered the seed. You already weeded out unwanted plants. You stood guard at the gate of the plantation, waiting for the blade to emerge. Finally, the blade began to emerge. Finally, the ear began to show. My friend, I have a special announcement for you. Due season is here. It's time to get your sickle out and begin to harvest the harvest. Begin to harvest the blessing. Begin to harvest the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say, it's my time, it's my time, it's my time. Hallelujah. As the dew of heaven. As the dew of heaven. Let's close. Let's wrap up this message. Everything begins with drawing close and becoming nearer to God. Becoming nearer to God. To know Him more than we ever have. My friends, do you know wisdom works with God? The revelation of the things that God has prepared for you on your journey, they actually are disbursed to you through wisdom, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it is as you get close, as you are closer to God, the Lord can say to you, son, daughter, it's harvest time. You may not have seen the harvest, but God could say to you, son, daughter, it's harvest time. It's time to get busy. It's time to change that situation. It's time to change your status as we get close to the Lord. Sometimes the Lord can say, wait. Wait, I'm working on something. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. It's still your due season. You're just waiting for the Lord to finish everything He's working on. And then you wait there, close to Him, ministering to Him, loving on Him. Thank you, my Father. They that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For I will say of the Lord. You stay close to Him. You keep loving on Him. You keep ministering to His presence. You keep walking with Him. You keep serving Him. You keep doing the things that He has put in your heart to do. You know, due season. Remember, season is not a moment. It's a season. It's a season. It's not a moment. Hallelujah. This revelation I'm sharing with you is so deep. It's so deep. It's not just theoretical. It's so deep. It's so deep. It's deeply personal. It's deeply experiential. It's due season. It's due season. It's due season. For somebody out there, it's due season. It's due season. Hallelujah. Remember what we are talking about in this season of the year. We're talking about the dew of heaven, your due season, and God's due order. That's what we're talking about. The dew of heaven, your due season, and God's due order. My friend, somebody needs to hear this online today. It's your due season. God is saying it's your due season. This is your moment. This is your hour. You already got your preparation. You already paid the price. There's something higher that God has prepared for you. It could be spiritual. It could be mental. It could be in your family. It could be in your career. It could be in some area of your life. God is saying your due season is now. So go out, take your sickle, and begin to pull in the harvest in Jesus' mighty name. I want to close this today. You know, everything begins from knowing God more intimately, from drawing closer to God. And there are three things about that I saw in the life of Zacchaeus. Well, that's my last scripture. I'm going to read in Luke chapter 19 from verse 1 to 9. But I want you to notice these three major things. Number one, anyone can get closer to God and know him more. Anyone can. You can. I can. Nobody is too spiritual to know God more. Nobody is too unspiritual to know God more. You can, I can. In fact, Zacchaeus was one of those people where people thought, no, this one, if anybody can ever know God, it would not be Zacchaeus. He was one of those people blacklisted. Like, there's no way for this kind of person to ever know God more. The Bible described him as rich. But in his community, there were a lot of people who did not look at him as just rich. They looked at him as a thief because he was a tax collector. So someone like this. So in fact, when Jesus, at the end of this story, when Jesus decided salvation is coming to your house, Zacchaeus, people said, no. Anyone can get closer to the Lord and anyone can know him more. Number two, if you take a step toward the Lord will take a step toward you and meet you. Number three, the significant things of your life matter. You must be willing to give God the center of your life and the significant things of your life. I'm going to try to close here. Let's read the story of Zacchaeus real quickly. Let me make a couple of comments from this book, and then we'll be ready to close. I hope you have been blessed. Raise your hand to heaven. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you for the dew of heaven. Thank you for your holy presence. Thank you for your mighty word. Lord, we honor you. We thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. We feel his presence so strong. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. We honor you. We magnify your holy name. You alone deserve the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's quickly read. We're about to close this. Luke chapter 19. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 9. Hallelujah. Let's read this and then let's just make a few more comments and we'll be ready to get out of here today. God bless you. Luke chapter 19 from verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not, for the press, it's a crowd of people, because he was little of stature. If you are little of stature, it doesn't stop you from knowing God more. If you are big stature, it doesn't stop you from knowing God more. If you have a quiet personality, it doesn't stop you from knowing God more. If you have a loud personality, it doesn't stop you from knowing God more. None of these physical attributes, none of our natural traits predispose us to knowing God more or disqualify us from knowing God more. Anyone can know God more. Anyone can become more intimate with God. Someone say, Pastor, you mean even me with all of my baggage? Yes, you. You can know God more. If Zacchaeus can know God more, you can know God more. Any one of us can know God more. Some say, Pastor, even me, with all my failings, yes, you. Some say, so, Pastor, even me, with all the ways in which I've disappointed God, yes, even you. Another person say, Pastor, you mean even me, with as far as I've been in the faith, the last 50 years I've been a child of God, yes, even you. you can know God more. Every one of us can know God more. He was little of stature. And he took a step in verse 4. He ran ahead. Zacchaeus, the rich man, he ran ahead. He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he knew Jesus was going to pass that way. He ran ahead. Remember what we said, if you take a step towards God, God will take a step towards you. God doesn't initiate the process. God has paid the price. He's already done everything he can possibly do to draw us to him. Now the ball is in our court. We must take the first step, the next step. If you are going to go higher to the next level in your relationship with God, my friends, you must be willing to take that next step. You must be willing to take that next step. It's not something you can't do. It's not something you don't have. You must be willing to take that next step. You must be willing. You can't pray this prayer, Lord, make me do it. No, God will not do that. The responsibility is ours. Notice, Zacchaeus, he ran ahead and he climbed up on the sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Oh, I remember a song we used to sing several years ago. It was one of my favorites. Years and years ago. I want to see Jesus. I want to see him. Just to see the face of Jesus, what joy that will bring. I'll serve him forever for many one thing, just to see the face of Jesus, the Almighty King of Kings. He just wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus said, today is my day. This is my due season. I want to see Jesus. I'm not waiting till tomorrow. I'm not waiting till next month. Maybe sometime Jesus will, when he's on his return trip. No, today is my day. Today is my day. He took a step. He ran ahead. He ran ahead. And when Jesus, you know, the thing about it is, when you take a step, God always sees it. God always notices. When you draw near to him, God always notices. When you pay a price to know God more, he sees it. Even when that price is one in your heart, even when it is something you haven't done yet in the natural, when it's something you are just dreaming about, you are just incubating in your heart, God can see it. God can feel it, like Isaac could feel the hair on his son's body. God can feel the cry of your heart. And when you draw close to him in your heart, God reaches out and draws you in. Jesus saw him. He looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. This is your due season. For today, somebody said today. Somebody said today. Somebody said today. For today, I must abide in your house. And he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when the people saw it, they murmured and they said, how can he walk with this sinner? How can he embrace this sinner? But Jesus says, Zacchaeus, today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of redemption. Today is your day of restoration. And look at this. And in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and he said unto the Lord, Lord, behold, I give half of my goods away. Nobody asked him to. Nobody asked him to. But he said, Lord, today I give half of my goods away. I give them away to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus didn't ask him to. But he did. You know why he did? Because he recognized those are the significant things of his life. The wealth he had amassed over the years. The things he had taken over the years. Those were the things he served. Those were like his gods, his idols. The moment he met Jesus, he said, Lord, I give it all away. I give it all away. My friend, there's something about the significant things of our lives. And Jesus looked at him and Jesus said, Zacchaeus, this day salvation is come to your house. For as much also as the son of Abraham. I didn't like the way the Amplified Version puts that last verse. He says, Jesus said, today is messianic and spiritual salvation come to all the members of this household. Since Zacchaeus too is a real spiritual son of Abraham. Notice, he was a real spiritual son of Abraham, but he was far away in the distant until he went on the sycamore tree to meet with Jesus. He was a spiritual son of Abraham, but he stood far away and did not take his rightful place until that day, Zacchaeus said, today I'm taking a step towards the Lord. And when he made that decision, God took a step towards him. Let me close out here. Let me read this out of this book right here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Oh, hallelujah. We honor you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, oh God. It's out of here. A few years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart along these lines. And he said, sometimes the greatest limitation that believers have in their quest to know God is their unwillingness to lay down the significant things in their lives. Some of the significant things in your life are your time, money, jobs, careers, relationships, ego, personality, personal ambitions, dreams, cares, aspirations, status in society, and on and on. Whatever your own struggles are regarding the significant things of your life, if you will lay them down willingly and prayerfully and develop a desire, a quest, a hunger, and a passion to know God more, I guarantee you, he will find you and reveal himself to you. Several years ago, the story was told of a beloved minister who was running away from the Lord. He would not get closer. He would not take that next step to be closer to the Lord because he was scared. Somewhere in his heart, he was afraid that if he got closer to God, much closer to God, the Lord would send him as a missionary to China. He did not want to go to China. So because of this fear, he stayed away. He stayed away from God. I mean, he was a child of God. He was a minister. He was close enough, but he would not take the next step. He would not take the next step until one day he had an encounter with God. And when he finished, when God was done with him, he thought God was going to say, son, it's time to go to China. And God didn't say that. And he said to the Lord, Lord, I thought you were going to send me to China. That's why I was staying away. That's why I was afraid to give you everything. God said to him, I was not going to send you to China. I just wanted you to be willing to go if I needed you to go. I just needed you to lay down the most significant thing in your life. How about you? Can you lay down the most significant things in your life today? Can you take that next step? Can you say to Jesus, Jesus, here I am. Take all of me. I'm tired of holding back. I'm tired of running away. I'm tired from being at a distance from you. I want to come close like Jacob came close to his father Isaac. I want you to feel me. I want you to touch me. I want to be in your bosom, Lord. I want to be in your secret place. Would you stand to your feet wherever you are today? Would you stand to your feet? Let's all make that
Our prayer as we close out this service, Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you our hearts today. In the name of Jesus, we give you everything. You know your significant things, whatever you've been holding back from the Lord, lay down today. Come on, let's take that step. Wherever you are, take that next step in your relationship with God. Not just for a day or for a month, not just for a couple of months. Let's just make it a quality commitment. I'm going all the way with the Lord this year. I'm gonna keep rising and keep mounting up with wings as the eagle in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Is it your time? Is it your job? Is it some relationship? Someone you don't want to lose. Someone you don't want to. I don't know about me. For you, like Abraham, it was his son, someone he didn't want to lose, and God said, give me that son. And he thought that boy was going to die. God really didn't want to kill that boy. God just wanted to make sure that Abraham made Jesus, God alone, the center of his life. He was willing to lay down the significant thing in his own life. Father, we honor you today. Thank you, God, for this blessed service. Thank you, Lord, for everyone under the sound of my voice, every man and every woman, wherever they are in their homes, wherever in their cars, some in the hospital, wherever they are today. Lord, we have received the dew of heaven. The glory of God has visited with us. We have touched your presence. Something supernatural, something radically divine has happened in every one of our lives today. And we lay hold in this moment, we lay hold to draw closer to you, to come nearer to you. We thank you, our God. I call your people blessed. I call them blessed all of this week. I declare the favor and the glory of God. Peace in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.